Welcome to Tom Monty Doodoo and the Crocodile Crew.
Hello there and welcome to Tom Monty Doodoo and the Crocodile Crew on FBR Radio 94.5 FM. I'm Robbie and with me are Jordan and Tom.
Who just cut himself. You needed to know that, Sydney, but... Seriously, get some help.
We're back. We've been in Brisbane for the last few days doing Stooge Fest in Brisbane, which was very fun. And now we're... Yeah, we have all these fun stories to retell.
Yeah.
Such as, we are officially talent scouts. It was the nicest feeling going to all of these live events, because Brisbane is... not known for it, but is trying to get itself known for being the place for live venues. So we were doing the rounds of that, and eventually we came across a man who made us all of our hair turn into French berets. We all stopped and stared and simultaneously said, "Who is that?"
He had a laptop and he was standing there and he sung his heart out to those backing tracks, and his name is Simi Lacroix, and he's a Brisbane man.
Is that a stage name?
I think so. I think his actual name is Josh.
Don't toy with us.
Well, yeah, I spoke to him afterwards. He's a really nice guy, and so I think we'll be playing all his songs today.
Oh, are we? Excellent. Yeah, I was going to argue with Robbie on air about this because he said, "But I've already got a playlist ready," and I said, "Do it all. Do all of it, this man." And then, yeah, he was going, "But we're only 20 seconds. And then I said, "Then I'll argue with you then." Okay, it seems like he's just forfeited that.
I'll do this playlist next week. But so, because this guy is fantastic. I'm very much a fan. So, Simi Lacroix, S-I-M-I-L-A-C-R-O-I. X.
So to all those Tame Impala fans that keep demanding that we play it, just wait until next week where we will come up with another excuse as we are contractually not allowed to play Tame Impala anymore.
But that did... He raised a bit of argument between the three of us about how legit is Simi. Is this, that's his name?
That, yeah.
Just say Josh.
Josh, yeah. Because so basically what he does is he has reimagined the 80s and he kind of just does 80s songs which are originals, and he dresses to the part. He had a one of those kind of all digital watches on. He had like one earpiece with a little ring piercing.
The watch becoming a huge point of contention between the three of us. Asking, the whole thing is, we're used to the Sydney vibe that if you play 80s music, you do not have the confidence to all out admit that you like 80s. You have to put this ironic tinge to it of, "Yeah, I know it's lame, that's why I'm doing it. Yeah, it's really obvious that you like it, just admit it." This guy, we think, went full tilt, actually did like it. And so between Tom and I was saying, the Casio watch is a clear indication that this man is not being in the slightest ironic. He's all out, he's just Bruce Springsteen's reincarnation, despite the fact Bruce Springsteen's still alive. So I'm imagining that a growth fell off his back once in the shower, went into the drain, and, you know, out he popped in Australia.
Yeah, but what I was saying is that the Casio watch is actually a giveaway for the opposite, which would be that it's too much of a stereotype and a trope. Like, all his songs are just kind of... it's almost like he's taking the piss out almost out of the 80s.
I'm not going to hear any of that stuff.
It's quite offensive, really. Yeah.
No, he's definitely a fan of it, but I think that there's more of it is this kind of Kaufman-esque kind of, I'm creating this.
See, this is the
troll
thing. You think that this 20-year-old boy is as much of a genius as Andy Kaufman.
Yeah, I think he's
a
genius.
What you want to believe. Yeah.
But I think he is.
This will make a lot
it's
more...
It's pure fantasy, man.
This will make a lot more sense when you hear the music, I guess. But I think... I did actually have a look at his Bandcamp, which is where I got the music that we'll be playing today. And the genre that he's got there is actually 80s... / post-ironic. So I think we've got confirmation here.
Jordan, post-ironic. Does that completely...
Yeah, you know what?
Argument?
Actually, I completely succeeded. Obviously, he's been...
I knew it.
He told us he was being serious.
I know, but that's...
What is
the
going
act
on here? No, that is obviously him. He couldn't go full tilt. No man at this age in 2016 can all out fully admit that they're from that they like the 80s. That was his little defeat, I reckon. So
no.
I take back my original concession and put forward the "no, I'm completely right again" point of view.
If you're listening, Simi, please text in on 0409 945 945, and if you're aware of this man, also let us know your opinions on that.
But we've kind of just realised that this segment is sort of turning into 702's 3pm music hour with three men gently discussing a musician you've never heard of. So instead, we're moving on to somebody else who we also met there who you have no idea of, but talent scout. Not in the sense of music. She is the raconteur to end all raconteurs. Tom, take it away.
So quickly, what is a raconteur?
I think it's a band.
Probably is. But if you look up the dictionary definition, it'll be somebody saying like something along the lines of they're able to tell stories well.
Right.
So this person, if you want to listen to stories, look no further than this person who obviously has an alcohol problem that we met in Brisbane. Yeah.
So we were at it was very late at night. We were all at a kind of in a beer garden area just hanging out, and a girl approached Robbie and I, and we just chatted to her for about an hour, but she was too drunk to be in the venue probably, but we just kind of accommodated her conversation for about an hour. And it was one of those things where she kind of accidentally told amazing stories because of just her drunkenness. Because we were asking her what is the most sad or like terrifying experience you've ever had, to try and like promote some kind of like prompt this kind of drunken maybe like breakdown or something. But
quite the opposite happened. Extreme confidence ebulliated.
Yeah, imagine that. You just get asked what is the most kind of like profoundly horrific moment of your life, and in an instant you're just being like, oh yeah, well it'd have to be, and just like knowing straight away what that is.
It was really like talking to a drunk female Ralph Wiggum, because her most terrifying moment of life was, I think I saw these burglars outside my house, so I ran around in circles in my room screaming, there's a burglar, 6 times.
And then
so
I ran
classic
in my
chicken with its head chopped off response to a frightening situation.
And she's like, and then I ran into my parents, and and it was never really confirmed whether or not there was actually like people out there.
So the most horrifying experience of her life may not have happened. It's a lot like Truman's, the only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
Because then she went on to be like, oh yeah, but then also this time happened where I was in my backyard, and I thought I saw something, and I was like, Dad, I think I see something, and he got one of those torchlights out where you could like, you know, bash the guy with the torchlight, and he was like, oh, don't worry, it's just snow. And I was like, Dad, we're in Brisbane, it doesn't snow here. And then we're like, so was there someone in the car, like, burglaring your car? And she was like, oh, no, like, I'd never found out. And we're like, how is that the most horrific experience?
Because she realised she was losing Robbie and Tom in the conversation, that they were clearly unimpressed with this obviously extremely bland, no good ending story. There's no hit. There's no crescendo to it. So she told yet another lackluster story that is pretty much the same.
And while she's saying all of this, there are tears dripping down her face.
Which apparently she'd been asked about all evening.
But why are you crying?
And the reason was that she was wearing makeup from Aldi that she had.
No. She's like, I usually buy makeup from Aldi. And we're like, oh, okay, so is it makeup from Audi? Oh. And she's like, no, like, this is good makeup. I bought this, like, 2 days ago.
Oh.
I'm like, so why are you crying? And she's like, oh, just because it's makeup. I'm like, oh, is it hurting in your eyes? And she's like, no, it doesn't hurt. It's just, I'm just weeping from it. Like, it's just, water's just there.
But apparently the difference is that it was because it was from a different store. That was the reason why she was crying to it.
A store that she didn't even buy that makeup from. It's like kind of this drunken thing of just hearing the word makeup and thinking of anything she can, like, immediately, and thinking it makes sense.
And the sheer confidence in her voice. To her, it made perfect sense. But that was it. That's as far as that world reached.
I suppose another thing she didn't mention was her love of Harry Potter.
That's
and how her mum, in some sort of undescribed rage, just ripped up her entire collection for no apparent reason. So that was, and then she cried a bit more.
So in a nutshell, we're basically saying, I really, really I regret pawning her off to you guys so quickly. I really wish that I spoke to this person longer. So, text in, tell us your stories. Who's somebody that's told you such a lackluster story that in the future you realise, no, why did I get rid of this person out of my life? Bring them back. There's got to be just a constant... I'm genuinely sad that there's about 1,500 kilometres separating us now.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd love to have her part of the team.
I think she's got... I think she might have an online presence, potentially.
Yeah. We got to find her name.
Anyway.
If it's you, let us know.
Yeah, okay.
And no cyberbullying, just on-air bullying, which is what we're doing right now. Right? So don't make fun of her.
The number's...
That's our job.
Oh, sorry. The number's 0409-945-945. Tom, what'd you do to you and the Crocodile Crew, whether you're on 94.5 FM. This is the song, The Best of Me, and it's by your boy, Simi Lacroix. That was your boy, Simi Lacroix, with The Best of Me, Brisbane's finest. You're with your boys, Tom Montedudo and the Crocodile Crew, on FBR Radio 94.5 FM.
Okay, why did you point at me, Robbie?
Just because
I
thought we sort of discussed that we were going to talk about the documentary that we...
I do, okay, I do vaguely understand the hand signal system of radio, but I don't think that we have fully discussed it. I don't think it's prepared for that, but okay, like the verbal cue has got me under wraps. Let's talk June. Okay. So, when we were also in Brisbane, yet another regaling tale of our favourite city up north, right? So, pretty much we were there. We watched a documentary about Dune and how this movie was never completed. We brought it up in conversation at a Chinese restaurant that had a bunch of pool tables in there as well that charged $4. Outrageous. Highly recommend you go there. Good food. So, we were talking to somebody about the Dune saga, and obviously this is going to be a spoiler alert, so if you haven't read all 9 books, like no one in the history of the world bar this 50-year-old woman has, turn it off if you don't want to listen to it. However, if you just want to cut to all, like, what is probably 7,000 pages of book to get to the end, here's what happens. At the end, all of the descendants of this royal family that owns the universe are trapped on this planet. They figure out a way of getting out. They find this really super duper spaceship. They all fly away, and then they get out, they leave orbit, they go out of the universe, and then they notice that a scientist is looking down at them at a periscope, and that's the end of this entire 9 series books. And she was very unimpressed with this. I, however, thought that that was a sick twist.
I just realised...
M. Night Shyamalan, eat your heart out. That's great, you know? Like, that's why he's lost his magic.
I just
realised... he's not reading Dune.
It's the same as Horton Hears a Who, isn't it? That Dr. Seuss.
How does that finish? That's... is it on a petri dish?
Well, they're on like a little cauliflower or some sort of like fairy flower, you know? And they've got a whole city, and then the elephant finds their little plant and tries to protect them, and everyone wants to destroy it.
Well, maybe he's not a creative genius after all. And I paid $450 for one of the original cells. Feel cheated, frankly.
Really?
Yeah,
yeah, it was, I paid for that.
What, you paid $450 for a cell of Horton Hears a Who?
Not Horton Hears a Who, but I think it was something like, I can't remember which one, one of his lesser famous books that I thought was great when I was 4, got everyone to pull together and give me that gift, and I think I doodled on it. I was too young for it.
Do you know where it is now?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's one of those, is finishing on a petri dish. She was saying it makes the whole thing suck because you can't go back and read it again because it will just devalue the whole series. Because, like, what do you care what any of the characters do if you're just going to get this kind of, you know, who cares? They're just in a petri dish.
And you agreed with her.
Well, I feel like Men in Black or something where they do that zoom out and the aliens are playing marbles, which is kind of a bit of a joke. But
pretty epic, though.
Yeah, it's like
makes
contextually makes sense for the rest of the movie. But yeah, I would think that probably they did think about it, like, after 9 books. But it could be disappointing.
Well, the guy didn't, did he? So wasn't it written by
Frank
Herbert, surviving family or something, right?
Probably. Look, we didn't research this much. The point is... we want to know if that is like the end that would satisfy you in a book, or if it's kind of like along the lines of, but it was all a dream, because I'm also of the opinion that that's fine. Just let people groove on that.
I don't think that you're really of that opinion, though, are you?
No. Well, I was... All right, so then this Alejandro guy... What's his name?
Alejandro Jodorowsky.
Yeah, so he is this kind of Dali kind of artist who wanted to put together the greatest film, like, ever made. Like, any... There's this... But it never got made. And
but this documentary was still highly of the opinion that, no, it was the best film ever made, even though it's never been made.
Yeah, and it was really interesting, but it was annoying because he hadn't even read Dune when he first got involved in this project.
Which and then, makes him even more of an artist.
Yeah.
Don't you see the genius in that?
My problem is, if you loved Dune and then were to kind of... It feels almost like he's saying, like, I'm above Dune. Like, so... which, you know, maybe he is. But it's just a thing to, like, completely change the ending is what his plan was of the first book. To do, like, basically the opposite of what the actual ending is. It just seemed like a very, you know... kind of low blow on Frank Herbert being like, you know, this is an amazing text, but, you know, I'm more amazing, so I'm going to change the meaning.
Well, but as he mentioned in the film, he said, I lovingly raped the book. And I think that's true. And I feel like it would have been a good movie.
I think for people to look at it, if like you're a Dune fan, you can't look at it and be like, oh, I can't, I'd love to see this because he's ruining Dune.
There's a lot of speculation in this segment. a lot of this is just musings.
If he was to make it, would he have ruined this thing?
Yeah. Hypotheticals on hypotheticals.
But yeah, the other thing we were saying was how the documentary is so one-sided and that it just talks about... the you know, just the people, the creatives, like, involved.
Yeah, but maybe there's just not another side to the argument, you know?
Yeah, so the, like, it never got made because he couldn't get the last $5 million of funding from all the big Hollywood studios.
And Tom's opinion is fair enough.
Yeah. Whereas me and Jordan think
not fair enough.
Yep.
That's really the difference in our opinions. One word. But it makes all the difference, doesn't it?
That's why
we have a debate here on our hands. Because I really don't think that... Because Tom's argument basically boils down to, yeah, well, like, it's risky, so I wouldn't do it. But it's the greatest film of all time. Take the damn risk.
But it's speculative. It didn't get made. We don't know that at all because it didn't get made.
Yes, we do, because the director from Drive, who I really hate a lot, said that it was.
Just to give you some context, he had sort of recruited Dali to play a role, Orson Welles, Mick Jagger, Pink Floyd to do the music for some scenes, and so it was quite a, the film was also
it was a collab. It was the original rapper song that feats Beyonce, Jay-Z. You chuck in some guy that you'll never see again that has grills.
Yeah,
that are far too large for his mouth.
It's called Jodorowsky's Dune. Anyway.
Yeah, but my beef with it is, like, they don't. They must. If it was such a sure thing that, like, yeah, like, this movie should definitely have been made. It's like, just what. Put yourself in the studio exec's shoes. Why didn't he do it?
Because he's a jerk.
Like, and it's too easy to say, just because he's stupid, man. He's stupid. No, he's not stupid. He's an acquires films for, like, one of the largest studios in the world. It's like, he obviously knows what he's talking about in terms of how much money a film will make.
Can everybody text in on this? I know that we said that we're going to try and wind back on texting, but seriously, does Tom have a point?
Well, Jodorowsky's point is that it's all about the art, and that, you know, the film industry has been overrun by these money-hungry pigs.
I think he's right, but he shouldn't play the game of the film industry then. Like, because he can't... It's like, yeah, to be like, I'm going to make this piece of art and I want you to give me $5 million to do it, and you shouldn't expect for it to make its money back. Like, he's playing the game of the Hollywood, you know, like, money system. Like, well, that's how it works.
Well, for instance, the Holy Mountain. Lennon and Yoko Ono, I think, put up $1 million through Alan Klein or something.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, that's how, you know, that movie should be made through, like, private philanthropic kind of investment, not through, like, was he really expecting for Disney to be like, oh, yeah, all right, we'll give you $5 million for this kind of, you know, very not, you know, a very risky project. Like, there's no denying it's a risk doing like that.
They're not looking at the heart and soul of their industry, though. I mean, if you walked into Warner Brothers... If the exec had a picture of Bugs Bunny up on his office, Mm. That's who he should be consulting, right? Just like WWBBD. And that's he did it, did he?
Like the heart
he
and soul
looked at his
of
Rolex
it.
And thought, no, I want another one of them. Greedy. And you agree with them, you slug.
I don't, like, I think they should have made it, but I can definitely see where, like, why it didn't get made.
Well, yeah, so we've got an exceptional text here. It says, it wasn't made because Jodorowsky demanded it be 14 hours long. Visionary dunks. Out.
Thank you, Dunks.
Cheers.
The and greatest man to have ever lived. You always text into this show. Still reigns supreme. Better than Jodorowsky. Look, he's the only man that could have done it. He could have gone into that studio, said, I want to do 14 hours of Dune, give me $15 million in the 70s, and they would have said, you know what? How about 20 million, Dunks?
Yeah. How about we make it 40 hours long? Is that what you want? I'll give you anything.
All right, so text in. What do you think of that? The number's 0409-945-945. You're listening to Tom Montedudo and the Crocodile Crew on FBI Radio 94.5.
With the laziest radio calling questions in the game.
This is a song called Back in Your Arms, and guess what? It's by your boy, Simi Lecler. Oh, Lord, yes. The song is Back in Your Arms. The artist, well, it's Simi Lecrae. You're with your boys, Tom Montedudu and the Crocodile Crew on FBI Radio 94.5 FM.
So, now a click has been added to the point.
And actually really, really highlights it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just a perfect example of auditory and body language mixed together. What else do you need?
So, the other day at Stooge Fest, Robbie was DJing real hard and we're thinking that must be the happiest he has ever been.
Particularly seeing as he was... That was not how this segment was supposed to go. Especially because before the red light came on, Robbie said to Tom, okay, so you know what we're doing, right? And then he goes, I'll pawn this over to you because Jordan did an abysmal intro to the last one. Tom, yours was worse.
And the reason is...
No, it's because you cut me off.
You weren't here for any of the prep for this, were you? Yeah. You rock up.
I was late. Yeah.
Oh, God. Anyway, yeah.
The reason that has sparked this idea of what is the happiest moment you've ever had in your life? Jordan, what's your happiest moment you've ever had? Do you reckon?
Should we do
shit back, boys? What?
You set up the song and I'll play it. So you say,
okay. That was just awful radio, wasn't it? Okay. Yeah. Here's what we've got. 15 in class clowns, which is the version of raw comedy for high school students, won the state finals, not the nationals. They gave that to a midget,
yep.
Which set me up for my lifelong hatred of midgets. I've got a reason to hate them. They're out to get me. They're out to. I deserve that. I definitely deserve that. You know who it was? She ended up being the mega sashy girl in Big Brother 2009.
No way.
Yes. Yes.
She beat you in
so who
raw
had the
comedy.
Last laugh? Her, probably. Her creative career led to her getting a brand new Suzuki Swift. But, you know. But,
wow.
I don't know. Look, success is subjective. The point is...
6 degrees, though, right? That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Just removed from her.
Amazing.
Anyway, yeah, so what?
Straight after her, Kevin Bacon. Yeah.
But that's
a quick slope, isn't
it? But at 15, you made it, didn't you?
Yeah. Yep. Just imagine me getting a rubber chicken that you buy at a $2 shop that's spray-painted gold as a cheap last-minute, oh, we've actually got to give an award to these kids, handed by the guy that you used to see on Sunrise, whose whole act was a robo-dog. I don't know if you remember those from 1999.
Yeah.
He basically just knew how to do wheelies of them better than anyone else. He was the MC handing it to me, and then he got that little dog to come up and go, giving me an award. And, of course, that's when I...
Oh,
so you've never felt happier than that moment.
Yes, if only that white guy that Lil Wayne obviously met when he just moved into the burbs that live next door to him but is a spoiled brat that doesn't know how to play the guitar that well was played at that point in my life. It was the only years later when that song was combined that I realised, no, that's it. That's the peak.
Were those
I reached Everest.
Yeah. Were those dogs like Furbies? Were they sort of competing with Furbies?
Were they the ones that did the backflip?
No. That was a very cheap rendition of what this could do, as it also had a magnetic ball. And it used to... I think the whole gimmick of it was play Shaku with it, get it to play fetch, feed it food, and then you'd give it a bone that would flash either blue or green, depending on the dog that you bought. And I suppose the flashing suggests digestion. So yeah, actually, Robbie, to answer your question, even though I just gave you heaps of detail about a dog that I vaguely remember, a lot of that could be untrue. Yes, it was competing with Furbies.
Okay, and Tom, when was the happiest you've ever been?
Probably in year 8. Remember Mathletics? Do you remember that?
It's like a
game where you race someone through how quickly you can do the 1 to 10. It's like the answers are always somewhere between the answer being 1 or 10 in a simple addition. So it'd be like 2 plus 1, 3, 3 plus 2, 5. Like, and
you can actually do different versions. You can do a division.
You can do, yeah, but that's the simplest one. And
oddly enough, Tom was in year 11.
Yeah, and I remember playing it at home, not needing to be doing it. Like, you usually do it in maths class, and I was just doing it at home. And, the State of Origin was on, and my dad was like, "What are you doing? Like, watch the bloody game, mate." And I remember, like, I just finished and I looked at the score and I was like, number one in Australia, and I had my moment of just being
what?
At the top.
Oh, I don't believe this for a second.
I've got the screenshot.
He's won a lot.
I know that. So Tom is good at like PGA Tour. The
2008 Tiger Woods PGA Tour.
Yeah.
No, I was number one in Australia for Mathletics. And then my dad was like, made me get off the thing. And I was like, "Dad, you don't understand. I'm the best in Australia at simple addition right now." And he was like, "It's easy. It's simple addition. You should watch the game."
Wow.
Yeah.
A very confusing assortment of events. A man who is actually an English teacher demanding that his son stop learning in your damn books, boy. Watch the damn sport.
Yeah, I had my kind of half a second of celebration time, and then it was just like slashed down to watch the game.
But were you on a constant high the whole time, and it didn't matter who won because you were the real winner? Yeah. You knew what it was like to be the man that scored the try, does a backflip in triumph.
Yeah.
And the happiest I've ever been was, as Tom mentioned earlier, DJing the other night at Stooge Fest. I played some absolute bangers, and everyone had a great time, I think.
So this turned from an anecdote to a
callback.
General, just a debrief of what happened in slightly more detail. Much like watching Ripley's Believe It or Not, and they keep telling you what's coming up next in the show.
Yeah. Four times.
So what you guys are looking forward to after this song is we're going to be talking about funny voices on the radio. So as friends, we sort of go through life, sort of commenting on things in various funny voices. And
it's just what we do. And maybe you do it with your friends. We don't want to know. Don't text in.
No, we're going to be working out, whose voice is this? Who's the person that would have this sort of voice? And that's what we're going to be talking about. So get excited for that. But at the moment, we're going to listen to a lovely song. And guess what? It's by your boy, Simon Lilcha. And it's called Sexual Attention. You're with your boys, Tom Montydoodle and the Crocodile Crew on FBR Radio 94.5. Boy, oh boy. Just keeps getting better, doesn't it? That was your boy, Simi Lacroix, with his song Sexual Attention. You're listening to Tom Montydoodle and the Crocodile Crew on FBR Radio 94.5.
Who's getting a lot of positive feedback from the texts, including when we played that last song of his. Somebody texted in saying, "End this madness," while somebody else texted in saying, "Please no more Simi."
In caps lock.
Well, I got news for you, mate. No. We're playing more.
And now it's time for Funny Voices on the Radio.
Right. So, as was briefly mentioned beforehand, Tom and I basically talk to each other in probably 7 to 8 American accents frequently to get us through our days. It's a coping strategy, as our lives are dismal.
Yeah, it's a way of trying to get through. It's kind of, if you don't talk to anyone but like two other people in your whole life, you kind of develop your own almost language, if you will.
Yes. We are human goldfish. We know the mind. So one of them, we are quite confused as to where we should be placing this human being to be imitating people, because really we boil down everybody that we have brief interactions with. It's a lot like when you bring in a googly eye fish into the fish tank with the three goldfish, and obviously the three goldfish have far better genetics than this, let's be honest, hammerhead freak that comes in, gets an eye infection. You see it 3 days later on the bottom of the tank with the other three gnawing at its fins, right? So that's everybody else in our life.
It's kind of like the six personality test thing, where everyone really just fits into a few categories, whether you like it or not, and they will all encompass under these specific voices. So, for instance, whenever we talk about like the Noam Chomsky voice, which is anyone who is kind of an ivory tower academic fits the same voice.
Or has this voice of reason to everything. We believe that just saying the argument isn't as good as saying it in that voice of, you can't possibly expect that global warming is going to end up in some kind of positive result in certain areas. I mean, think of the refugee intake in Greenland. It's not going to be a pretty picture.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So we obviously know which one that should work for. The one that we are at an odds with, every now and then Tom pipes in with this voice, but changes what kind of human being he should be using it for. So, for instance, when we were in Brisbane, he was using it for the club promoter of going, dude, really glad that you're here. Thanks so much for coming up. How was Tiger Airways? Did they treat you nice? That voice. What is he?
I think.
Who do you reckon he is, Tom?
Oh, who do you think first?
Yeah, it feels like it's that kind of the suit that isn't a suit, like the ad exec guy. Someone who works at a creative ad agency who wouldn't like to admit that his job is as businessy as he likes. So he'll wear kicks and he'll wear nice clothes and they'll have a really nice office and work environment. But yes, Ultimately, he may as well be at ANZ.
Yes, his feet are on level 50 of George Street.
Yeah.
But his mind is in the waves.
I reckon he's an abseiling teacher.
Yeah, that's pretty good,
actually. That's
actually
perfect.
Yeah, we were saying that.
We have a champion.
Someone who is, like a ski instructor. So, not a surfy who's more of a, yeah, dude. Like it's more of a, yeah.
Yeah, so the surfy vibe is somebody who, surfing is very secondary to their life. The primary thing is mostly watching tapes of other people surfing in a very relaxed environment, possibly doing things that are borderline illegal with his life. Usually has very long hair, probably a Tuck Fryer level of baldness on the back of his head. Yeah. That's the guy that's, you can't own property, man. That kind of a voice. For that guy, this guy seems to fit somewhere between the corporate world and that absolute dropkick.
Because in corporate world is the suit guy who's like, I'd like to make a proposition for you right now. Like, that's just kind of the middle ground between the two.
So, you reckon abseiling?
I do.
So what do you think works better, Tom? Because you're the father of this voice.
Abseiling works well, I think. Extreme sport teacher. Someone who teaches or has some authority, but it's something which isn't as important as they'd like it to be.
So, it's exactly what I said.
Yeah, so I guess it could be exactly that, right? Yeah.
Somebody who is a professional that doesn't really give the respect of professionalism to his job that the job actually should require.
Yeah.
Unless, of course, it's extreme sports.
Yeah, it's so, the you can take the country out of the boy, but not the boy out of the country. Oh, you can take the boy out of the country, but not the country out of the boy. Right. Putting a surfy in a suit is the...
But again, because we are goldfish, we don't know these people really. Do you work with someone like this? Somebody please text it and tell us, does that human being exist as prominently as we think it does?
We've got one here. He texted it on 0409945945. He says, he's the guy who stands out the front of student backpackers / travel agencies and accosts strangers with, g'day fella, are you loving the city, mate? Catching some waves down at Bondi, are you?
Yeah, that's perfect. Yeah.
This level of employment that guarantees that you're going to have flatmates well into your
40s. Yeah.
Really into Mambo. Still thinks Mambo's great.
Yeah. We went to one of those parties. Remember, Robbie, we went to a thing to try and get you some ladies?
What was that?
It was like a backpacker's, like, all-you-can-eat pizza night.
Oh, my God. Yeah, free goon,
crawling,
free pizza.
Absolutely crawling with these men, preying on the very easy targets of tourists that are really looking for a good time. They know their demo.
Yeah, they must. Yeah. They must have a lot of fun. Because it'd be a very strange job, I would think, to just just always have, it's like Fawlty Towers or something, just having this constant flux of just German backpackers coming through in the cross, and you're just like, you have to do that on a daily basis. Yeah.
Would you rather be the surfy dude that's sitting there always going, I'm invading your space? Where's your why is this even your space? Because you got a piece of paper that says that, man? We're all children of the earth, dude. There's that guy. Who would you rather be, that guy or the abseiling instructor?
Probably the abseiling instructor. It just feels a bit more switched on.
That's very surprising to me. Yeah. And I think is, frankly, a lie.
If you're an abseiling instructor, please text in. The number's 0409945. Have you ever dealt with a horrific injury of somebody that you've been teaching, or just how was that?
Yeah, or call us on 833-22999 so we can hear your voice.
Yeah, thanks. All right, why don't we listen to it? Would you guys like a song?
All right,
sure.
Okay, this one's called Oh Lover, and it's by Simi Lacroix. You're with your boys, Tom Monty Doo Doo, and the Crocodile Crew on FBR Radio 94.5.
So beautiful sax.
Good lord, that is just wonderful, isn't it? That was Oh Lover by Simi Lacroix. You're listening to Tom Montedudo and the Crocodile Crew on FBR Radio 94.5 FM.
The power of communication with Jordan Shakes. So, let's get stuck into this. Every week from now on, I'm going to be talking to you about an aspect of self-help, because as everyone knows in this room, I probably have read about 250 books on the subject, and I've got some wisdom to pass on to you. And Tom as well, because he's a shambles of a man. Seriously, shave your beard. It's disgusting.
What the hell? What is this?
That's an example of communication. Effective communication.
But yeah, every week we do this where Jordan will give us insight into the self-help world in the same way that Tony Robbins collects all his all of his information and makes a book. Jordan collects all different self-help
Tony Robbins'
gurus.
Information, yeah. Mostly. Yeah, some others as well. Buddha's in there, but Tony Robbins is better.
And will give us a bit of advice.
So, pretty much, there's a theory in most of neuro-linguistic programming. If you don't know what it is, look it up. Do that in your own time. You want to know what that is? Hit the net. Do your own work. That's a principle of self-help. No one's going to give you what you want in your life. You've got to go get it.
Help yourself.
So, one of the main aspects of neuro-linguistic programming is, though, that your entire life is the direct result of the communication that you have with others, as well as the communication you have to yourself. So most people, for instance, who hate themselves, we know everybody knows someone like this. Robbie, for instance, hates himself, clearly.
Yeah, there you go. Good example.
You should have seen his
face. Frown.
Utter confusion, anger, scared that he was ratted out. This glint on his face of, it's true, how do they know?
Don't expose me.
So, but a massive thing of that is that most people that have that feeling, it's not so much that they're saying that, it's not so much that they want to be sad, but most people have something in their head when they have that, saying that I don't deserve to be happy. That's the vast majority of instances. That is purely from you talking to yourself all day, because pretty much, even right now while I'm speaking to you, there is two conversations going on. I'm speaking, and at the same time, I'm trying to edit what I'm saying, and that's just the natural course of humanity. It is so pivotal to change the voice in your head, and you can do it. There is very simple steps to doing this, and you can eventually become the happiest person in the world you're committed to doing it.
How does one do that, Jordan?
How do you know?
Well, there's two main aspects to this. The first one is, if you're depressed, 99% of the time, it's because you're thinking about yourself. So as soon as you start getting out of that and thinking about other people, instantly the level of depression goes down. Even if you're thinking about something such as an avalanche that killed 5,000 people, you will feel less depressed than if you're thinking, I don't have the job that I want.
Yeah, I didn't die in that, you can think.
And Tony Robbins came up with that. This idea.
Yes.
Long story short. The idea of thinking about others.
No, Tony but Robbins. mostly communicating, Tom, don't belittle the man. You know how good I feel about it. I'm feeling quite aggressive at the moment.
Oh my god, John! Sorry, I have to cut you off to say this. Look, we got a text here. It says Tony Robbins is freaky. I've met him because my mum used to work for him. He is so scary. I have seen what he does. Do you know what she's talking? This person is talking about.
He's obviously a terrifying man. Yeah, there's okay. No.
I think she means a giant. Freaky, as in like, oh my god, so freaky, amazing, like that kind of freaky. I've seen what he does. He does amazing stuff.
Scary. Can you continue texting into us, whoever your name was, or even bring us up and tell us more about this? Because I would be very interested. This is my... I am one of those alien conspiracy theorists that lives in the desert in a specifically silver mobile home.
So please call.
That is... I'm that obsessed with him. I would very much like to just scrap this, give nobody advice whatsoever, just to hear you, so I could ask you a couple of questions of, so what's he like?
Yeah, please call in. The number's 833-22-999.
And why does your mum like him? I mean, what's the deal with that?
Well, why wouldn't
so
she?
Many questions too that we'd like you to answer.
But yeah, keep going.
So in the meantime, the second one obviously is communication with others is one of the most effective ways of you getting what you want in life. Obviously, because that's all humanity's basic advantage over other animals. Mostly is the level of our communication, and you can see it even with whales. The reason why they've been so successful as a species is because they are able to have this rudimentary language between each other to coordinate ways of surviving. A perfect example of this is killer whales. There's footage of them in the Arctic with a seal on a rather large sheet of ice that is broken off.
Mm.
And they've obviously talked to each other that, okay, so it's your turn to eat. The other three of us will create sort of this miniature wave to push the seal off of the water bird, by just putting so much force on it that it goes straight into the mouth. It was a very sleek, easy kill, right?
What do you mean successful animal, though, as in... You know, isn't an ant who doesn't... Like, you know, they have
they communicate
basic
with each
language.
Other.
But, like, is there any... Can you give an example of an unsuccessful animal that doesn't communicate?
No.
Right, so
that's
everything communicates. Right, okay.
Dogs, for instance, as well. Most animals that are able... That's what it is. The more effective you are at communicating, generally, the better your species does in terms of going up on the food chain.
So what would be the worst species at communicating? Like little fish that get... Or the seal that got eaten?
Probably even... obviously, like, if you're going to include amoebas, so we're getting wrapped up about this now. The point is, communication's really important.
So, okay. Robbie, we feel as though we haven't been communicating well with you lately. You should get the chance to communicate how you'd like to do Robbie's Lab, because it's your segment, so...
Especially seeing as 2 weeks ago, he fell off a chair trying to prove to us that I think gravity's not that good. Is that his point?
No,
that it's overrated?
And,
he was saying Charlie Chaplin sucks, yeah. So...
Anyway.
Right, so nothing to do with science. So pretty much, we gave him the opportunity. So, Robbie, what are you going to do this week? What's the experiment that you want to teach us about?
I'm going to teach you about blissful, joyous states of mind. And so I've got a book here. It's by Yoza Buson. It's a collection of the haikus of that person.
Just a quick reminder, this is a science-based segment where we talk about where we do scientific experiments.
Right, and so now I'm going...
Does this haiku relax you? That's what we're finding out.
Breezes stir the hair on my scrawny shins. It's time for summer clothes.
It's beautiful.
Is it?
Scrawny is not the best word for relaxation. Do you want to do another one quickly?
It really just reminds me of, yeah, it's cold, I should probably put on a sweater. It's a nice way of phrasing that.
I've got another one here. In his lined summer robe, the practiced archer looks like a champion.
I'm thinking we should expand this experiment. Robbie, can I instead slam this pen into the top of your skull
and see if
that relaxes us a little more?
That was not prepared at all.
No, this isn't actually not what we talked about. So yeah, I don't really want to.
You don't want to do that? You want to go for the karate chop? Okay, we'll go for the pen because this is all about science. We have to learn.
Can a pen go
otherwise? Yeah, it's to see if this is going to be more relaxing than the haiku. The hypothesis is that the haiku might be more relaxing, but we don't know, do we?
But we have to get out of here really quickly.
Okay, so maybe you should just cue up the Donkey Kong music so you get this out of the way. Okay.
All right, so Jordan is going to lightly tap Robbie on the head as kind of a chakra in light, like boost, if you will.
Oh, Jesus.
And here Robbie's going to tell us if it's more relaxing, this increase of his chakra expansion.
Just please.
3, 2...
Ow! Ow!
And what do you think? Are you relaxed or...?
I preferred the the haikus.
Oh, well, there you go. Okay.
Well, as long as we know, that's what Robbie's Lab's all about.
Okay, guys, we've been Tom Montuda and the Crocodile Crew. It's goodbye from me, Robbie.
Jordan, who's already walking out of the door.
And Tom, hello.
Okay, we have been told officially that we cannot play any more Similar Cross. So what we're going to do instead is play a song called Thick, and it's by Plies.